Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. It's BQ&A. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day, friends. It's Pastor Will Mawala in the studio on a beautiful Monday evening here from Adelaide, South Australia. Wherever you're tuning in from, blessings, and we hope that you're having a wonderful end of a Monday. And whether you're driving home or you're at home or wherever you find yourself, may God bless you. And we hope you can stick around as we spend the next hour or so talking here about all things spiritual and another important topic tonight. So without further ado, I want to introduce my co-host, Pastor Brenton Wilkinson. As always, it's a pleasure to see you tonight, Pastor Brenton.
Likewise, Will, and it's a pleasure to be on air again with our listeners right around Australia. And what's our topic for tonight?
Yes, Will? I'm glad you asked. So our topic is hypocrisy and the church. Does it matter?
Yeah, those last couple of words are fairly important. Yeah. Does it matter?
Yep. So yes. So that's what we're going to be looking at, not just you and I, Brenton, but our team. And one of the perks that we get as Monday evening hosts on Drive Time, we get to introduce the topic.
We do.
And we kind of set it up for the rest of our team that will be coming in. So if you're new to Faith FM Drive Time, we get to go live 5 p.m. Adelaide time weekdays. So if you've just stumbled across our radio station, hey, we have this slot, and Brenton and I, we get the privilege of hosting Monday's slot each and every week. And so we're going to be talking about hypocrisy in the church. Hey, it's going to be a cracker. We hope that you will get to stick around and join us. And so we're going to get stuck into that a little later on in the show. But before we do that, we have a World Watch segment, and then we have a wonderful book offer.
Will, what just finished? What just finished this morning?
So
you were mentioning this to me off air.
Yeah. So unless you've been hiding under a rock, this morning was the World Cup.
The final of the World Cup.
Between Argentina and Spain. And drum roll.
Yes.
If you haven't heard, hope it's not a spoiler alert, but Spain
won.
Spain actually came through 1-0. What happened, Pastor Brandon? I woke up at 6 and I flicked on the TV. I thought it was over, and it was right into the 80th minute, and it was 0-0. I went out for a quick jog, came back, and, you know, social media was blasting with the results. Spain had won.
Spain had won.
Look, I'm not a really huge soccer fan, but, you know, I was saying to my wife, Tarani, I said, you know, because I only just watch the highlights, as probably many people do, but I said, no, honey, let's stay up and let's actually watch the World Cup final. So we're like, yeah, cool. But that was like yesterday, arvo. And before you know it, we were like, getting sleepy. Like, so we'll just watch the highlights the next day. But I know that there are some diehard soccer fans all across the world.
They would have been sitting up.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
What I thought we would do for our World Watch segment, it's a lighthearted World Watch segment. Sometimes we say really serious things, but this one's a bit more of a lighter note. Mm. And what I want to share for World Watch is the celebration of the trophy or the World Cup.
A classic.
Yep. So let me share a line or two from foxsports.com.au. And listen to the title of this, the article here. Bro thinks he's on the team, end of quote. Trump refuses to leave the stage in a painful World Cup moment. Let me just read a couple of lines here, Brenton, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. It says, US President Donald Trump was booed before making things awkward as he presented the World Cup trophy to Spain captain Rodri, I think, after the European champions defeated Argentina 1-0 in the World Cup final. Trump was booed as he walked onto the pitch for the post-game trophy ceremony alongside FIFA president Gianni Infantino, I think.
Yes, that's the one.
And then refused to leave the stage as Spain waited to lift the trophy. There's a bit more, but that's the gist of the article.
So Donald didn't lift the trophy.
We were saying that just before we went on air. Look, I understand that Trump's a very polarizing figure. There's some people who, you know, all things Trump, you know, as well as in the US with the whole MAGA movement. So look, we don't try to get into politics a whole lot, but I did want to, I couldn't miss the moment. I was watching the whole trophy celebrations as millions of people did across the world.
Sure.
And here is Trump in the middle And you were saying earlier, Brenton, that when he walked onto the stage with that FIFA president, they were both holding the, yes, the trophy in one hand. And you and I were kind of chuckling, saying, you know, if Trump had it his way, he would have had it both hands and even maybe held it up in the middle as Spain had their celebration. So I guess I just wanted to bring this to our attention. Number one, because, you know, the whole world has basically been watching the World Cup final.
Well, it is the biggest, I believe, globally. The World Cup is the biggest event watched globally of any sport.
Right.
Whether it be NBA, whether it be motor racing, whether it be golf, whether it be tennis, whether it be whatever.
Yeah.
I think the FIFA World Cup is right at the top of the list.
Right.
It'd be interesting to know how many billion people watched it.
Yeah, like the
overnight
numbers.
Or this morning, depending on your part of the world and what time of day or night it was where you were watching.
So yeah, look, there's no real rhyme or reason to me sharing this, only due to the fact that it literally happened this morning, and obviously, you know, the whole soccer world's going crazy about, you know, but the victory of Spain. So, you know, shout out to any Spaniards that are out there listening right now to Faith FM. If you follow soccer or not, hey, you know, Spain won. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of, you know, shattered and devastated people in Argentina. As they had lost the, you know, the final just early this morning.
They were actually the reigning world champions.
Yeah, they were.
Up until the end of this match.
Actually, you know what I did, Brenton, about a week or so ago?
Yeah.
I watched this YouTube clip with, it's basically a collection of all of the World Cup final goals.
Oh, right.
So it took about maybe 10, 15 minutes. It went just to probably like 2002. So it was about 20 years ago, like, you know, every World Cup since then. And it was amazing how many times some of these teams just kept popping up. It was like France was in it a few times in the final, I noticed. Then there was England, and then, you know, Argentina was there.
Well, England finished third in this one. Did you watch that?
No. I only just watched the
score was? Six goals to England, four goals to France.
Oh, no.
They said it was the biggest number of goals scored in a playoff, because obviously it wasn't the final.
Yeah.
It was the playoff between third and fourth. But
are you talking about the one between France and England?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 6-4.
Yeah, 6-4.
So it was 10 goals altogether.
They said it was the biggest number of goals scored in a playoff since 1982.
I did watch the highlights of that, and there were some real crackers.
A lot of goals there.
But I watched the highlights of, like, the World Cup final game, Argentina-Spain, and it was amazing how it was only a four-minute highlight, but – it seemed like every 30 seconds, Spain just had a shot on goal. So they just had, you know, it just seemed like Argentina was on the back foot for most of that game, because every highlight was more or less Spain just getting through. But anyway, let's just kind of get to why I wanted to share this. What do you think? And I know it's probably a longer conversation than the few minutes we're giving it right now, but I couldn't help but think, Brenton, the notion of, you know, the president of the US, Donald Trump, trying to, I guess, from my perspective and probably for many, many others.
Gate crash.
He was trying to insert himself into, and I was listening to some commentator just earlier today going, man, these people on the stage, these World Cup players they spend their whole life training for this one moment, and just for them to soak it all in. And here's this guy on the side. I was, you know, I couldn't help but laugh.
The stage,
and the way that the FIFA president was kind of trying to, you know, gently usher him off to the side. So look, I guess why I wanted to bring this up is obviously with the US, you know, there's a lot happening in the US, and on a more serious note, and I follow a little bit of what's happening with Iran and US. Apparently, there was a couple of US, you know, soldiers had been killed.
Three.
So there was three, hey?
Three so far, but they're bombing Iran nightly. We're up to about number 10.
So the US is bombing Iran nightly.
They're bombing them every night. They've done nine so far, number 10 coming up tonight, I think.
Yeah.
What I was watching today was that Trump is saying, oh, well, this might last 12 months.
Yeah. Wow.
Until they're ready to come to the negotiating table or they're kicked out.
Yeah.
I mean, how are your people the people of Iran going to kick out the IRGC when they don't have any weapons?
Yeah.
I'm not getting into the politics of it, but they're a horrible regime. And I just can't see how all of this is going to end up. You know, they bomb Iran, then Iran starts bombing their allies over the Gulf.
And yeah.
So it goes. It seems to be tit for tat, going backwards and forwards. But obviously you would think ultimately America will prevail because they have more weapons
and more
of everything else. But meanwhile, yeah.
I guess more on a serious note, and then we'll probably wrap this little segment up. You and I are very well aware, Pastor Brenton, about the role that the U.S. will play in prophecy. So I'm thinking of a classic Christian by Christian author Ellen White called The Great Controversy. There's a whole chapter there about the United States and in prophecy. It's not part of our book offer, yeah. But if you're out there in radio land and you haven't read a book called The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White, do yourself a favor. Go online. You can even read it online absolutely free. In the latter chapters of that book, there is a chapter that specifically deals with the United States. And that's all I'll say on this. But I guess for myself, when I see not just Trump, but who he represents, the United States of America, and they're on the world stage, not just the World Cup, but so if you are unfamiliar, if I could say, to the role that the U.S. will be playing in Bible prophecy, because that's what we're all about here at Faith FM Drive Time, which we're trying to give a Christian perspective on things that are happening in our world. And so, yes, it is a lighthearted little worldwide segment where, you know, we're having a bit of a laugh about the World Cup and everything. But on a more serious note, what's happening in the U.S. and the role of the U.S. is very much no joke. And so I want to encourage you as listeners out there, do a bit of digging. Read the book of Revelation, chapter 13 in particular. Read the chapter in The Great Controversy.
Yes.
And I guarantee if you have not read that chapter, you'll be enlightened about the role that the U.S. will play. And so I guess that's part of me as I was watching that this morning. I couldn't help but see the bigger picture in some ways, Pastor Brenton.
Well, the big picture is that the USA is the preeminent world power today. There's no dispute on that. Some might argue China's on the rise and all the rest of it. The bottom line is that America seems to have the authority, whether it has or whether it hasn't, it assumes the authority to interfere globally in anybody's business.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-American and I'm not necessarily anti-Trump, but I just think that people who listen to our program who are not maybe Christians, if you need any proof that America is going to play a role in last day events, just have a look at the way they're behaving at the moment.
Mm, yeah.
From the World Cup onwards and every other phase, what they're doing in the Middle East, what they did in Venezuela, what they're doing around the world, anywhere at any time. When America speaks, everyone jumps.
Mm.
So I think I would back you up on that. I'd say read Revelation 13, particularly the second part, from verse 11 through to about verse 17 and 18, because they're the verses that deal with the role of the United States in end time events.
So do yourself a favor.
We have touched on this in previous
programs. Yeah, definitely. So that's our World Watch segment. If you haven't read Great Controversy, go online, just Google it.
For sure, do it.
And read it. It's an amazing book. I think it's one of the most influential books that you can read outside of scripture that gives you a great perspective of
so
world events.
So what's our book offer tonight?
Good question.
What are we offering?
Our book offer tonight is a book entitled I See Jesus.
Wow.
And it's actually a book targeted towards younger kids, Pastor Brenton. So in the book I See Jesus, young readers, that discounts me and you, Brenton, young readers will begin to see the Savior in their everyday lives. And so in this book, there are a collection of 53 short devotional stories that helps young children uncover the kindness, compassion, and their forever friend Jesus. So, hey, if you've got kids, or just have as a resource, if you like the free copy of the book I See Jesus by author Charles Mills, all you need to do is grab your phone and text us the code. So this week's is a new code, SA426. So you just grab your phone and that's all you need to text, SA426, and you need to text that code to the number 04888 8081.
We've got it.
So once again,
04888 8081.
That's right, Brenton. So there you have it.
And we've been told to say that the same.
Yeah, that's why we're chuckling
here. We're on air, so that's why we're having.
We want to share the number in a way that you guys can remember. So there you go. So I See Jesus, code SA426 if you'd like a free copy, 04888 8081. And follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you. So, hey, don't go away. We're going to be talking about hypocrisy in the church. Does it matter? We'll get right into that right after our song. But before we do that, we're going to play a lovely song. It is from a group that you like very much and I like as well, City of Light.
Oh, City of Light.
Jesus Strong and Kind. We hope you enjoy the music. We'll be back in just a few moments.
We can't.
That was City of Light, Jesus Strong and Kind, a beautiful song. If you've just joined us, hey, welcome. It's Will and Brenton in the studio, Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A from our studio here in Adelaide, South Australia. We have the privilege of going live 5 p.m. weekdays, Adelaide time, Monday to Friday. We get to host Brenton and I and the rest of our team. But in the break, we had a couple of people text through. And as we always like to do, we love to give you guys a quick shout out. So our first person that texts through, Crystal from Narracourt. And you're telling me an interesting story about Crystal. Good evening, Crystal. Yeah. And we know that you're a faithful supporter of Faith FM. Well, they're supporting your ministry as well, Pastor Brendan. Oh.
No. Welcome, Crystal. We will make sure, or our friendly bot will make sure you get the book.
Yep. And also.
And now we have Preston Gowing.
Preston Gowing from, I think it's from New South Wales. Shout out to you, Preston, from New South Wales. Great to hear from you. We've got your text, mate, and we'll send that book out to you as soon as we can. So let's get cracking into our topic tonight. We're dealing with hypocrisy in the church. Does it matter? And tonight's topic is actually the theme. And so we get the privilege of introducing starting this conversation. So, Pastor Brendan, take the lead on this. Hypocrisy in the church, does it matter?
Well, can I ask you a question before we get underway? So let's have a little bit of interaction.
Let's do it. Have
you seen examples of hypocrisy in the church? You're a minister. I'm a minister. Have we seen examples of hypocrisy in the church? Have we, perish the thought, even been guilty of hypocrisy ourselves?
My mind went straight to that, Pastor Brendan. Before I picked up the stone to throw at someone, there was another five stones getting ready to be thrown at me.
What's the saying? People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah, true.
Look, it's an interesting topic, and I think I would really like to invite our listeners. If you're driving, obviously you're not going to be able to do this. If you're listening at home or you're listening somewhere where you have access to your scripture tablet or a Bible, Jesus actually had some very clear advice to say about hypocrisy. I found this particular comment, Will, interesting, and I'm interested in your comment after I read it. He's talking to a group of people at the temple, including the Jewish leaders, the rabbis, the Pharisees, the priests and the rulers.
Pastor Brennan, can I just pause? I need to make a public apology. The theme is actually worded a little bit different. Our theme for the whole week is a holy masquerade. Are the faithful hypocrites?
Yes.
Our question is not, it's hypocrisy
in
the church.
Our question is
I got it mixed up. I thought our question was the theme. So my apologies. Let's do the theme. The theme is this, a holy masquerade. Are the faithful hypocrites? Can I just say something before I pass the time?
You may.
Isn't that weird? That word masquerade. My daughter
was
on some type of app or something, a game.
And she said,
Daddy, what does this word mean? And it was masquerade. The word masquerade. And then I kind of tried to explain the mask. Then, you know, we went to the old Google and it showed us, you know, the people with their, you know, those mask thingies.
Yeah.
And here we are talking about hypocrites, a holy masquerade. But anyway, that was very interesting to me nonetheless.
No. That's very
good. All right, take it away.
Jesus made this comment, and I want to share it with you and with each of us. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. But all their works they do to be seen by men. So here you have Jesus' summary of what hypocrisy is in the church, because who is he talking to?
He's talking to
people who would normally go to the synagogue on a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking to the Gentiles. He's not talking to the Greeks. He's talking to the Jews. And he's saying, when your leaders tell you to obey the laws of Moses and the laws of the scripture, the Old Testament scriptures and that sort of thing, do them.
Yeah.
But don't do what they do, because they tell you to do them, but they don't do them.
They don't do them themselves.
That then lends itself into what the term hypocrisy means. It comes from the Greek word hypocrisis, and it means to play or play act or to play a role. Now, your daughter's having a look at this and saying, Daddy, what's this? What's this all about? What's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is. The question was hypocrisy in the church, does it matter? Well, Christ, as you know, in that particular chapter, gives seven woes on the Pharisees and mm-hmm. the scribes, as you're aware. For those who are interested, read chapter 23 of Matthew for yourself, and you'll come to the conclusion there are seven woes.
Okay.
Each one of them begins with the word, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees.
Oh, right.
Hypocrites.
That's the woes.
That's the woes. They're all in there in that particular chapter. You can have a look at them for yourself. But what I found interesting and what I want to share in starting this off is the first woe. I could read all seven, but one will do. It says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Will, I want you to think about that just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrisy is that serious, according to Christ, that those who were practicing it, which were the priests and rulers,
yeah.
who just wanted to look good, was all about image.
Mm-hmm.
You remember they prayed long prayers in the streets.
Yep.
They wore the scriptures around their arms and on their foreheads.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Gave big offerings in the temple, making sure that the coins clinked very slowly so that everybody would know that they're giving a big offering here, guys. We're really doing it. We're really holy men.
Mm-hmm.
And here he says, you, talking to them, you shut up the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You're not going in yourself, and nor do you allow those who are entering to go in.
Yeah.
So hypocrisy is that serious, basically, that those who practice hypocrisy within the church, you do not know what effect you are having on those around you. Hypocrisy has lots of friends, and this is where it all begins. Let me ask a comment. George Barna, who does a lot of research, you've heard of George Barna.
Yeah, sure have.
There is probably nobody, I repeat, there's probably nobody on this planet who does more research on Christian beliefs than George Barna,
right.
even though he's American.
Okay.
And I'm on his website. He sends me stuff every month. I get updates on this and that, latest research shows, whatever, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever. He said 61% of young people who leave the church do so for a number of reasons, but one of the main ones is perceived hypocrisy in the church.
Okay.
Have you ever had any experience with that yourself? Have you ever had young people say to you, I'm not coming to church anymore, I can't stand the hypocrites.
Yeah.
I can't stand the double standards. They're one thing on Saturday or Sunday if you're a Sunday keeper. Yeah. Holy, 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 but the rest of the week, different story altogether.
Yeah.
And I've seen both sides. I've seen the side at church. I've seen the side in the community. Have you had experience with anything like that?
The honest truth is, Brendan, I used to feel that way a lot growing up.
You used to feel that way?
In my Tongan church when I grew up in Sydney. That I guess, I don't know how much I really believed it with all my heart, but that was one thing I'd often say to Mum. He's like, why do I want to go to church? Because all the people I see there are, they're just as, you know, they're just as bad as me in some ways. So I don't know if I wholeheartedly believed it, but I definitely was one of my talking points to Mum.
Okay.
And I think looking back, it's, maybe you're just justifying why you don't want to be part of a church because you kind of see that they're all not that holy themselves. They're, like you said, they're probably at church on Sunday or Sabbath, but you know the real them in some ways.
Yeah,
and
right.
the way they act is not in line with what they're professing to be followers of Jesus.
In other words, their profession is not followed up by the practice.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what you're saying, essentially.
Yeah.
So where do you think the problem lies here then? We're not coming to the end of our study, guys, just in case you think. I've got a number of biblical examples of people who have been badly hurt as a result of people that they should have expected to either be mentors to them, spiritual mentors or mentors in some role or another. Where lies the problem, do you think? Do you think the problem, and I'm throwing it out there for people to, if people want to give us their opinions by zooming in, I'm very happy to hear from you. Shouldn't your focus be on Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
I would suggest that hypocrisy is not difficult to discover.
Okay.
It's not that difficult to discover, but if all you're doing is looking at those people, as you said earlier on, I'm just as good as them, why would I want to go to church? Because I know what they're like the rest of the time when they're not at church. That's fine. But if you're looking at Jesus, your example is not other people who are masquerading or playing a role.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's – yeah, it definitely makes sense. I remember when I first got baptized in, you know, when I joined the Adventist Church many years ago, and I remember one of the elders saying to me on the day, and you've heard people say it over the years, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's essentially what he said. So I think you're speaking to that aspect. Well, if you're looking at other people, then you're not really focusing on Jesus, are you? Because you're looking at others. But I think there's a bit of a nuance
there.
If you're
looking at others, you can always find fault. Anybody who looks at me could soon find some faults. Yeah. I can guarantee it.
Yeah.
If you want to know any of my faults, talk to my wife. She's lived with me for long enough to know that she's pretty well at knowing what I'm like.
Yeah.
And likewise with your wife.
And likewise.
So what I'm saying is it is vitally important if you are a church goer or planning to attend a church. I'm appealing to those out there who maybe aren't church goers.
Yeah.
Who are hearing Faith FM, they're taking stuff on board and they're saying, I must find an Adventist church and go to it. Well, folk, just be aware that if you go to any church, you will find hypocrites in it.
Yeah.
And that can be devastating to a person who's newly come to Christ. They've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've been baptized and they go, what have I got here?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like that for everybody. There are many fine Christians in churches who are not hypocrites, who do not masquerade and all the rest of it. But it's interesting that Generation Z, I was talking to someone from that generation recently, those born between 1996 and 2012, authenticity is the key thing that is important to them. Do you realise that when they do their shopping, and a lot of that generation would do online shopping, 90% of them, one of the key criteria for their purchasing is authenticity, is the item authentic? Now, I know we're talking about consumerism, we're talking about shopping and all the rest of it, but is it unreasonable for a person who comes to Christ, who comes to the church, to expect authenticity in the people that they meet with.
Yeah.
Is that unreasonable?
Yeah.
I don't think
no.
so.
No, not at all. I think as well, Brenton, is I think, like, let's say if someone turned up to church for the first time, just anything in
you
general.
You probably have that in your church. We have that in our church. Sometimes we have people turn up off the street. They come for a Sabbath or two and then they disappear. Other times they come and they stay.
Yeah.
And they start to get into the spirit of it all and think this is not a bad place. I wouldn't mind being involved here.
You know, Brendan, I'll just share a quick story. There was a lady that she had came to my church where I am and she basically shared with me that she felt very much let down. I don't know what the word is, but because she had been coming for a little while and she felt that no one was speaking to her.
Ah,
so I don't know if this is in line with hypocrisy, but I guess the point about there was an expectation there that, okay, if I'm coming to a church that supposedly loves God, surely the people there will be the most
friendly, the most welcoming, and most inclusive.
And so she said to me that she sat there a couple of times and no one spoke to her, and
and she's probably starting to say to herself, why do I bother coming to this church? Nobody talks to me.
And so I guess I say a little story like that I think for churches, for Christians in general, there is a whether we want to have it or not, but there is this expectation / responsibility that people expect that we would be.
Well, I asked the question, acting, didn't I? Is it unreasonable? I don't believe it is.
Absolutely not.
I believe that people who claim that they're followers of Jesus Christ should be held to a higher standard a higher standard of accountability than people out there who do not profess the name of God.
For sure.
Maybe do not even believe in God, and yet sometimes their ethics are better than the people in the church. That's particularly sad.
It's true.
Some of the examples that I've got in my notes here, I'm going to go through them quickly. Examples of church hurt. This isn't church, but David and Saul are one that came to mind. You remember David killed Goliath. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. So Saul says, I like this guy. I'm going to bring him into my court. Saul was always on the lookout for people who could make him look good.
Right.
And so he brings David in. Do you know that he set David over his men of war? Now, David must have been all of about 17 or 18 years of age. And the Bible says that he was accepted in the sight of all the people. This is David, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. But when the women came out after the defeat of the Philistines and sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, he's thinking to himself, what can this guy want more than the kingdom?
Yeah.
And the next day, virtually, he tries to kill him. David's in there in the court, and he throws a javelin at him. Do you know he made 8 attempts on David's life in the next 7 years?
Eight
attempts. People may say, why is that hypocrisy? It's hypocrisy because surely as the first king of Israel, chosen by God, note that, chosen by God, Samuel didn't make the choice, God did.
Yeah.
Chosen by God, and here he is, he's trying to kill this young man who has done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, he went into a cave on one occasion and David had the opportunity to kill him and didn't. David said to him after this, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand and I have not sinned against you. He couldn't argue with that. But you know what? Because of the way he'd been treated and because of the sheer hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Yeah.
This relationship was irretrievably broken. David never saw Saul again on this earth.
Mm. Wow.
Saul took his own life, as we know, by the end of it. Then I've got a couple of other examples quickly. Paul and Barnabas. Well, what's hypocritical about their attitude? Well, they had a young man with them by the name of John Mark. You might remember John Mark. He was actually, I believe, a nephew of Barnabas's. And they took him on ministry with them, but when the going got hard, he got a bit discouraged and he went back to Jerusalem again. Anyway, Paul's sitting down with Barnabas and he's going, oh, where's our next missionary trip going to be? Oh, we ought to go to X, Y, Z and all the rest of it. And, why don't we take John Mark with us? What was Paul's answer?
He didn't want him to go.
Yeah, why? Not.
Because he was, disowned him and he wasn't, had some backbone.
Yeah, I get the impression, rightly or wrongly, listeners, that Paul suffered fools badly. That if you weren't 100% for the Lord, he probably really didn't have a great deal of use for you.
Yeah.
And he felt that this guy had let them down. Mm. Let's face it, he was young, he was immature. And I think the bottom line is that he felt that he was not trustworthy.
Right.
What if we get persecuted again, which no doubt they would have? Is he going to desert us and pull out again? Well, the argument according to the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 37 and 38, was so intense that Paul and Barnabas broke off their relationship.
Yeah.
Paul then took a guy by the name of Silas with him. And you hear Silas mentioned in a number of his epistles from here on. Barnabas went off with John Mark. But later on, Paul did understand that John Mark had stood the test of time. He had been true to the Lord because he says it in one of his last letters when he's in prison, and tell John Mark to come and see me. He's useful to me in ministry.
Yeah.
But again, because of this, the relationship was broken. But I think probably the key example is the one in Galatians. I think we've still got just enough time to squeeze this one in. This isn't one that is often brought up in discussions. In the book of Galatians chapter 2, the story is quickly this. Peter is down in Antioch. And as you know, Will, Antioch was the first church where the name Christian was mentioned, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Peter is down there. It's an eclectic group of people in this church. It's both Jews and Gentiles and everybody else. Peter is eating with the Gentiles and all the rest of it, and along come these guys from Jerusalem who didn't agree with the decision back then that the Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised. Yeah. So they turn up. Peter immediately stops eating with the Gentiles anymore. He'll only eat with the Jews.
Right.
And this is what Paul says to him. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, that's from Jerusalem, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live like Jews?
Mm.
And so on and so forth. This is a classic example in the church of hypocrisy. When the guys from Jerusalem are not there, he eats with the Gentiles. As soon as these guys turn up, not anymore. And Paul balls him out or calls him out in front of the whole church group, it seems, and says, you were doing the wrong thing.
Pretty gutsy, eh?
Yeah, it's gutsy, but can you see that this had the potential to tear the church apart? If Peter hadn't have accepted the council, and obviously he did, even though it doesn't say so in so many words, obviously he accepted that he had been practicing wrongly by disassociating himself from the Gentiles when he had previously been with them. This had the potential to tear this church apart. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman world.
Okay.
After Rome, and I think possibly Alexandria or Ephesus was second, this was the third largest.
Wow.
It had a thriving Christian community where they were first called Christians. But had this matter been left unattended, because part of the answer, our question for tonight was, does it matter? It certainly does matter. The potential is there to split this church. You would have the Gentiles off to one side and the Jews and their associates off to the other side. And he's saying, no, what you're doing is wrong. So here's a question for you to think of before we go to the break. At what point should we call out hypocrisy and how should we call
it question.
Out? And I think we need to look at that after the break.
Yep, absolutely. Loving the conversation so far. Hope you are too out there in Radio Land. We're going to go to a break, but before we do, we're going to promote the book offer one more time. So here's the title of the book. It's a book for children, and the title is I See Jesus, Primary Treasure by Charles Mills. And basically, I See Jesus, it's for young readers. It's got 53 short devotional stories about Jesus, a wonderful resource for young children. If you'd like a free copy, all you need to do is grab your phone and text us the code. So tonight's code, SA426. Once again, SA426. So please text us that code, SA426, to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, SA426 is the code, and you need to text that code to the number 0488880811. And we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can.
Gary will be happy with that.
Gary will be happy. All right, we're going to go to some music. We'll be back in just a few moments.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing but water and stillness you hovered above. In the beginning there was nothing, nothing but you. Then you began to sing, you began to sing the song of creation. Into the darkness you cried, let there be light. You're in the business of making things new. So I will offer up my whole life, my everything to you. Chaos, it enters in, no one enters in. Shadows, they swallow the sunrise and darken the skies. Rain pitter-pattering, pitter-pattering over the earth. But something is happening, can you hear him sing the song of salvation? Love whispers to the wind, whispers to the wind, let there be life. You're in the business of making things new. So I will offer up my whole life, my everything to you. You're in the business of life. Business of love. Your love is creative, your love it sustains, your love is redemptive, your love it remains. So who can stand against your if your love it remains? So who can stand against your love? You're in the business of making things new. So I will offer up my whole life, my everything to you. Business of love. You're in the business of love. You're in the business of love. You're in the business of love.
That was Business of Love by Janine Harris. We hope you enjoyed the music. If you've just joined us, we're on the tail end of our live show. It's Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. It's Will and Brenton in the studio.
It is.
And we introduced the topic earlier tonight, the theme for the rest of the week, a holy masquerade. Are the faithful hypocrites? We've been talking about hypocrisy in the church. Does it matter? And Pastor Brendan has been walking us through that. So, Pastor Brendan, I'm going to pass the time back to you. And by the way, we got a quick shout out on the screen.
James.
So we've got James.
James from Mount Barker.
From Mount Barker, mate. Hey, God bless you, mate. James, we've got your text. We'll get that book out to you as soon as we can, my brother. So blessings and thank you for supporting Faith FM, Drive Time. Blessings to you, mate.
For sure.
Go ahead, Pastor Brendan. Walk us through.
Well, what we need to do, I think, in finalizing this, Will, is talking about the consequences of not dealing with this.
Yeah.
And you were talking to me off air about a situation you had in your own church.
Yeah.
I've had situations too. I'd rather not perhaps to talk about them on air, but what it does do when a person or people see hypocrisy in a church, it creates an extremely toxic environment.
Yeah, big time.
Who does it affect? Well, I'm going to go through a list of people.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with those who may be interested in your church. They have read the Bible, they have read about your beliefs, and they agree with them.
Yeah.
And they say, I think this is the church that God is leading me to. Mm. And then they turn up at a church, and I'm not thinking of any church in making this comment, none whatsoever. They turn up at a church, and after a while they say to themselves, these people talk a lot, but they don't seem to back it up with action.
Yeah.
What have I got here? So seekers, it's a commonly used phrase, seekers who are coming to your church. If I can appeal to you throughout Australia, whatever your church, whether your church has 500 people or whether it's got 10, be friendly, be authentic.
Yep.
People will soon pick it up.
Yeah.
They come to your church, they'll soon be able to tell this guy's over the top or whatever,
right.
whatever. But if you are authentic because you have the Lord living in your heart and life, they will be attracted. They'll want to know more. They'll want to come back. So not dealing with hypocrisy leads to a very, very toxic environment. And I think that that's something that we need to bear in mind.
Hey, Brennan, sorry to interject one more time. I'm just looking at it. We got another one on the dashboard. Rosalind. Yeah, God bless you, Rosalind. We've got your text message.
Big shout out.
Tuning in from New South Wales.
Thanks, Rosalind.
New South Wales. So blessings to you, my friend. Thank you for supporting Faith FM. All right, back to you, Pastor Brennan.
Okay. The other thing, or another thing.
Yeah.
That not dealing with hypocrisy in the church does is it destroys trust in not only the minister but in the leaders of the church.
Yeah.
Because people talk, you know that as well as I do.
Yeah, big time.
I've been a minister for a number of years, so have you.
Yeah.
And you know that people talk, and if they observe hypocrisy in the church and they see that the minister and the leaders of the church, i.e. the elders, are not dealing with the issue, they say to themselves, why aren't they dealing with these particular issues? That then creates in their own mind, can I trust my minister? Can I trust my elders? Because surely it should be clear to them that what's going on here is hypocritical, and yet they're not dealing with it.
Yeah, big time.
So that's another aspect that I think that we need to think about.
And I think... I think that's just another... I guess the tension of ministry is where do you draw the line? Where does grace abound, or where does the need to to have those frank conversations and say, hey, look, what you're doing, that's not actually okay. I think
no, that's good,
and I think that's maybe good. I like a way, maybe an answer to that as well. And I'll use my example from chaplaincy and defence. Defence is all big about their values.
Oh yeah,
service value. It's let me remember. It's it's courage, service, excellence, and integrity.
Right.
And respect. Yeah, there's five.
Okay.
And they try and drum into you that if you're out of harmony with those values, then something's wrong. And I think it applies in the church.
Yeah,
Is that,
for sure.
And obviously we derive our values and our ethics and our morals from Jesus, from the gospel. But I think that's this is a great conversation actually, because I've actually struggled with that as well, Pastor Brennan, in my ministry is at what time do we, to extend grace and when's the other side of the coin where we have to, call people out essentially for bad behavior.
Yeah. Look, that's a good point. Let's take that a step further.
Yeah.
I've got a couple more, but I want to highlight that just for a minute.
Yeah.
Matthew 23, we need to remember one thing when we're talking about Matthew 23. Mm-hmm. Jesus said these seven woes to the Pharisees and Sadducees and rulers and expositors of the law with tears in his voice.
Yeah.
In other words, the way he went about it, some people say, oh, you ought to read Matthew 23. Boy, did he get stuck into those scribes and Pharisees. He had tried for 3.5 years to reach them. He had tried everything. relying totally on his father's power from heaven. He'd tried everything for these people, these men, to accept him as the Messiah. And now there was nothing left. They were just play acting.
Yep.
They were leading people astray. He actually used the term, didn't he, in another place, when the disciples said to him, I think it's Matthew 15, did you know that you upset the Pharisees when you talked the way you did to them?
Yep.
He said, leave them alone. It's a case of the blind leading the blind. And he said, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch.
Yep.
So that was another point. I believe hypocrisy in the church misrepresents the character of God. And if I was to highlight anything tonight in our study, misrepresenting the character of God, God takes hypocrisy very seriously. Yeah. Let me share this statement. Hypocrisy is peculiarly offensive to God. A large majority of men and women who profess to know the truth prefer smooth messages from the minister. Many praise him who does not warn of the danger of hypocrisy and the terrors of God's wrath. I believe that hypocrisy in the church, above all, misrepresents the character of God. It not only turns potential seekers away, it not only brings about a lack of trust within the church, but it also, as I say, it misrepresents the character of God before others.
Mm.
Also, and this is where it becomes fairly close to home, we all talk about faith. We've had lots of programs on Faith FM about faith. Faith can be treated as a checklist for outward appearances. You wear the right clothes. You have the right speech. You comply with the church practices and all the rest of it. It cultivates a sanctified image, but it's not you. It's not the real you. And I think that that's pretty important. How do we deal with it? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness.
Amen.
Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? That means you and I have to put ourselves in the shoes of the offender.
Yeah.
Not easy to do.
Yeah.
As a minister, you're expected to have all the answers, but sometimes you've got to sit back and say, why do you do that? Why are they doing that? I don't really know the answer to it, but if I was in their shoes, would I be doing any better? Would I be doing any different? There, but by the grace of God, go I. So I would like to appeal to those who are listening. Particularly, hypocrisy in the church affects our children and our young people. They are watching. And I can assure you of that because I have a lot of dealings with young people.
Mm.
They pick fakes very, very quickly.
Yep.
So let's pray. Let's ask God to give us that authenticity. And that authenticity only comes from having a close relationship with him. Faith that is cheated as a checklist is fake.
Yeah.
People will soon pick it up that you're going through the checklist, ticking all the boxes. So I'd like to end on that. I'd like to appeal to our listeners. Be authentic. Be authentic in Christ. How do we do that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless,
Amen.
Not I live, but Christ lives in me. That's my message to share with us around Australia this evening.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Brennan, thank you so much for taking the lead on our conversation tonight. And unfortunately, our time is up for tonight. So, hey, to all you out there in Radioland, thank you for supporting Faith FM, Drive Time BQ&A. Please join our host tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Adelaide time.
Marty and Justin.
Marty and Justin. How do we respond to hypocrisy? So please join our host tomorrow, 5 p.m. Adelaide time. And please don't miss it. There's a lot more to unpack. So God bless you wherever you are. May God bless you. And we'll hope to see you next time. God bless.